Good day, South Dakota, and welcome to Dakota Midday Tech Radio. I'm Kent Osborne, Director of Online and Education Services for SDPB. SDPB will update you with the latest news. Then following the news, we'll discuss the latest tech news, including South by Southwest news and Facebook changes. Of course, we'll take your texts, emails, and much, much more. If you have questions about the cloud, hardware, software, accessories, the way to connect with us is through the Facebook page at facebook.com/techradio. Message us on Twitter at SDPB, and our phone number is 1-800-524-3604. You can email us, send it to midday@sdpb.org. Dakota Midday Tech Radio is on the news, or on the air, after this news. And welcome back to Dakota Midday Tech Radio for Friday, March 8th. We're coming to you live today from the SDPB studios on the campus of the University of South Dakota. Our 800 number is 1-800-524-3604. That's 800-524-3604. You can also drop us an email. Send it to midday@sdpb.org. We're going to meet the panelists for today's show. They're our usual guys, Joel Brovelight, John T. Meyer, Amos Aesop from Sioux Falls, and Jeffrey Litterick. They're all standing by, but first we have a legislative update. Victoria Wicks is standing by. Victoria, my favorite day of the South Dakota legislature today.
The last one?
Well, you know, if I were a liar, I'd say it's because they're passing the budget bill today, and that's really exciting, and there's going to be lots of great debate, and it's exciting. But you nailed it on the head. It's the last day. What else is going on?
Well, we had Republican and Democratic news conferences today. They hold one on the last day of every week, and this is the last day in the last week. And it's all session long. It's been education, economic development, and Medicaid, and that was what was discussed again today. Russell Olson spoke about passage of House or Senate Bill 235, the Building South Dakota Initiative, and
not without controversy.
Well, the controversy was mostly in the way that it was introduced, and I guess there were. There were some arguments at the over it, but they weren't long because it was introduced at the last minute.
Sure.
He made the note that, last year, I believe it was, they tried a large projects package that would fund large projects, and the voters voted that one down. That was referred. Russell Olson made the point that this year they included the Democratic Party in the process and addressed their concerns and criticisms, and they're hoping that that doesn't end up with a referred measure again. And something I heard this session is that Republicans hold 80% of the seats in the legislature, but Peggy Olson, when she was trying for a nonpartisan redistricting plan, said that less than 50% of the voters are Republican. So from that, one might extrapolate that referred measures are less popular or less partisan than the decision-making in the Capitol. Hmm. So referred measures would be more of a problem.
Sure.
They are excited also about the criminal justice reforms that were voted in, and that's a large package that was signed very early this session by the governor already. And then education. There's a Senate Bill 15 has a special education levy, so if the governor signs it, there will be an increase in property taxes. Because our special education needs have increased. I asked if there are more students, special ed students, because of increased general population or because the special ed population is increasing. And Representative David Lust says the general population of students has increased by about 3,000. And Russell says that on a $100,000 property, the additional taxes will go up about $15. The Democratic leadership, Bernie Hunhoff, says he's very disappointed in the way the state funds education. He says when things are good, education gets a bump, but it's not a proportionate bump. So if the economy goes up 4%, education gets 1%. And then he says when things go bad, it might go down 4% and education gets cut 10%. And it leads to a situation where schools just don't have a choice but to ask for an opt-out, and then property taxes go up. So the property tax payers are getting hit with that. Medicaid expansion is going to be studied this summer. Senator Jason Frerichs said that. He said there's a lot of federal money available right now for expanding coverage. Under the Affordable Care Act, expanding coverage to people at 140% of the poverty level. Right now it's lower than that. But he says the state isn't getting after it fast enough. People can start signing up for health insurance under the Affordable Care Act on January 1st, but Frerich says the state won't have acted by then, and that's going to leave a gap for people in South Dakota and for other states who chose not to go along with the federal plan. Between people who are eligible for Medicaid right now and people who are at 140% of poverty, they can still apply for the coverage, but they would have to pay for it themselves.
Was that a part of his part of the press conference this morning, or was that in joint appropriations?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because I know they did some Medicaid bills in House or amendments, I should say, to the general bill in joint appropriations, which is still going on right now. By the way, if you were to go to our website and go to our State House site and click on the Joint Appropriations Live link, you're going to hear them discussing the couple of pages of amendments to the general fund bill for the legislature. That's still going on right now. So can do that now, or I believe, is it the Senate that's due back in at 4 today and the House is before that, or
The other way around.
The other way around. Okay.
Uh-huh.
So folks can go to the website and watch all this develop in front of them live if they choose to. We're streaming all that along with the girls' basketball games today. So what a mix.
And you watch when you watch it live online, the name of the legislator comes up, the bill number comes up, so you can follow it actually better online than you can sitting in the room.
Well, yeah, the folks at Public Broadcasting here have done a fantastic job covering the legislature just front to back this year, and I want to send my kudos out to them, and I'll do that in a Facebook post later. But anyway, of course, all the folks on radio and television bringing that gavel-to-gavel coverage of the legislature right to everybody's front door, to their phones and their tablets and their PCs and everything. It's just amazing coverage this year. So, Victoria, thank you so much. Is there anything else you wanted to get in on the show today?
No, I think that's done. I'm just going to try to figure out what's going on today and hope it doesn't take him until midnight.
No tech questions for us? Your computer's running fine? And
we'll talk later.
You want to know what the latest Android 4.0 versus 4.1 or anything like that? Okay. Well, we'll let you go.
No.
Thank you so much for your work this year, and a little bit more yet to go today. And we'll certainly hear the wrap-ups stories from you and the other staff on the legislative session in Pierre. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you.
And a reminder to listeners of the show today, if you'd like a list of the links that we're going to talk about on the show, we put those on our Facebook page, facebook.com/techradio. If you wanted to go get more of that legislative coverage that I was just speaking about, sdpb.org is our website. If you weren't familiar with that, please go there and familiarize yourself with that right now. In the menu bar across the top of the page, you're going to see State House. And it's right next to South Dakota High School Sports, but click State House, and that'll take you to our State House page, and there's a listing of everything that's going on during the day. Of course, today being the last day of the legislature, you're going to have a very limited menu today. You can listen to the Joint Appropriations Committee meeting right now, or there are a couple of the House links for audio and video for the House floors, Senate and House, that will be on just this afternoon. They're standing in recess right now, waiting for the folks in the Appropriations Committee to get done hearing all the amendments to the general bill. So while we wait for that, maybe tune in on some girls basketball. We have all the games, A, B, AA, doesn't matter. They're all streamed live on the web and on South Dakota Public Television. You can go to the web and find those as well. But let's get on with the show. If you have any questions or comments, this is the place to be. 800-524-3604 is the number to call. The preferred method, most people just like to drop us an email. And that is midday, M-I-D-D-A-Y, at sdpb.org. So midday at sdpb.org is that email address. Of course, if you want to text us, 605-368-1677, shoot us a text. We will take questions in all forms. And the folks that are going to take those questions today are Mac guru Joel Brovelite. Hello, Joel.
Hey, how you doing?
Well, I am well, sir. We have Nine Clouds bro founder John T. Meyer, jet-setting John, we'll call him today, on his way to the South by Southwest Conference, I believe. Hello, John.
Yeah, still in Sioux Falls here today, and then catching an early flight tomorrow to Sioux Falls to Dallas, and then Dallas to Austin, Texas, for South by Southwest for about 3-4 days.
For Nerd Hipsterville, How else could you describe the scene in Austin?
I think they call it Nerd Spring Break now, which is pretty appropriate. But it's in its 27th year as South by Southwest as a whole. It's the 20th year for just the tech scene.
That's amazing.
Interactive.
We're going to get your take on that in just a few minutes here about what maybe has gone on down there already, and then maybe what you're looking forward to seeing yet this week. So stand by. We're going to introduce the rest of the folks. SDN sales engineer Amos Asip is with us today from Sioux Falls, and of course the lovely confines of SDN Communications. Hello, Amos.
Hi, Kent. How are you doing?
I am well, sir. Again, one of my happier days of the year. The legislative session coming to a close, and so I'm pretty happy right now. We've got basketball going on. Couldn't be better.
We'll be glad to have you back at SDN next time we're on the show.
2 weeks, you bet. I'll be there. I'll be fresh off of boys basketball in Rapid City by then, and ready for a show by then. So
perfect.
From Peer, Jeffrey Litterick joins us. He's a technology integration specialist from the Bureau of Information and Telecommunications in Peer. Is that all correct, Jeffrey?
Yes, that is all correct.
Okay, nobody's passed a bill this year and changed that or anything.
Well, they change them every 3 to 4 years, so I'm good for another year.
All right, sounds good. We'll get the mandatory title change next year then. Again, a reminder to listeners, you're probably on Facebook right now, so just swing over to put a /tech radio after that and like our page if you haven't. And jot us a question or a comment or a note. We love to see those. Post a funny picture. Post a serious picture. I don't care. But do something there. We would appreciate some back and forth communication. That's one great way to communicate with the show. Besides the phone number 800-456-0766. 524-3604. 800-524-3604. You want to order a DVD, you can call that other number I just gave you, and the receptionist would be happy to take your order. But if you'd like to comment on the show, 800-524-3604 is the number. Let's get back to the South by Southwest Conference, John T. Meyer, who I am very envious of you going. Nerd Spring Break, I guess. Hadn't heard that one. This astounds me that it's in its 20th year for tech. It's just kind of mushroomed, what, maybe the last 5-6 years?
Yeah, I'd say I went for the first year in 2009. I was living up in Minneapolis, and I think they were around about 10,000 in attendance that year. And I think now I know it's up to about 25,000 people ascend in Austin for the tech. And actually, altogether, I think it's about 300,000 people. Because really, 27 years ago, it started as a music festival, and that's still the biggest part. Then there's also film. And then interactive. And so I read that's the biggest economic impact on the city of Austin in the whole year, which doesn't surprise me, but I think about $167 million is what the article said.
Yeah, it's absolutely amazing. And I suppose the economic impact down there. And what's neat to me is all the folks that show up and the entrepreneurs, I guess, showing off their wares of what they're going to be doing and then the folks that are just there to serve the conference attendees. What's some of the craziest things you've seen down there?
Well, part that's gotten really crazy is the promotions that these young tech startups and no name companies try to do to become the next big startup. I mean, both Twitter and Foursquare are kind of credited for, you know, really exploding at South by Southwest. You have all these early adopters in one place, and so all these early adopters on the curve, they start using their apps, start using their network, and then they go back home and tell their individual networks and their friends and their groups of people. And so they're really, everyone's trying to become the app of South by Southwest. And in a couple of years, you know, you had Twitter and then you had Foursquare. But now it's just so much noise that it's really hard to cut through. I mean, you can't walk through the convention center without people just giving you free coupons and free, you know, download this, here's a t-shirt. You could probably go to South by Southwest with a shirt on your back and wear new clothes every day for all the free shirts people give you.
Oh, the swag.
But so we'll see who's going to try to be like the app of 2013. I took last year off just because it had gotten kind of so big and so crazy. But this year I think big data, again, is still a big theme. Of course, mobile, as always, we've been saying it for a couple of years, but that's because it's still true. So I think we'll see what comes out.
Is the freight train going to stop on Mobile anytime soon, or is this? Are we going to, you know, are we going to end up? And I want to. This I'm not saying this in a bad light. Are we going to end up like India, or a country that just everybody gets everything on their phone?
I think it's interesting. I mean, now some people are even thinking, and Joel just kind of mentioned it here in our chat, beyond even just mobile. Of course, mobile. I do think mobile is where it's going, but maybe we won't be talking just about phones and tablets, but also watches and glasses. I mean, you hear Google Glass just had their application process closed for people who want to get a piece of Google Glass, and then, you know, the iWatch, which we've talked about on this show before. So now it's going to be, it's just how can tech become more integrated and more seamless into our life, things that we wear and use every day.
Hmm. All right. Well, that sounds good. Again, a reminder to listeners, we will have a MP3 version of the show posted to the web soon after the show. Hit the website, sdpb.org. Click on the listen link, and we'll have that for you as available as a podcast, or you can listen to it right on your computer if you'd like to. We can do that. We have our panelists standing by today. That was John T. Meyer from Nine Clouds in Sioux Falls, and I guess maybe Brookings in Minneapolis, and I don't know where. You down in Omaha? I see news out of Omaha all the time. Is that part of Nine Clouds, or is that Silicon Prairie News? Or
yeah, I just get down there. Silicon Prairie News has some conferences and some events down there, and just like to be on the road. Tech allows us to work and play anywhere. That's why we love to be here in Sioux Falls. But it's also fun to go and travel around.
Yeah, Omaha's not that far off, and certainly just down the pipe. Internet-wise, between here and Dallas, so that seems to be a, you know, big wide pipe between here and there. Should be easy to get the tweets and the messages back and forth. Absolutely. So we have our panelists, Joel Brovelite, Amos Aesop, and of course Jeff Litterick is also with us today. We have a number of email questions, and we're gonna let's take a couple of those quick. Let's see. Jim writes, "I'm thinking of buying a refurbished tablet. It has Android 4.0 on it. Is there a large difference between Jelly Bean, which would be the 4.0, and the Ice Cream Sandwich, and that's the 4.1, when it comes to operating systems with Android?" So, guys, is there any perceivable difference between those two, and can he upgrade?
Well, it's going to depend on the device that he is getting, really. A lot of the devices are dependent upon the manufacturer and who it is, the types of tweaks and twists that they put on the operating system, whether or not and when actually those upgrades are available. For the most part, most devices do have the ability to go to Jelly Bean versus ICS, but you know, it would depend on the device itself. As for the differences, most of the differences you're going to see are visual, you know, are going to be appearance-wise. There are some things the way Jelly Bean does, for instance, Google Now is available, as well as the voice assistant, which if you're familiar with Siri on the iPhone, is going to be very similar. You push a button and you tell Google what you want, and it, you know, pulls that information up, whether it's a search or whether it's a map or something like that. Or checking the weather, I guess, is a good example. If you are getting a good deal on the 4.0 version and you know for sure that 4.1 is not available yet, really not a problem with it, especially if it's your first Android device. More than likely, though, at some point that 4.1 will become available. And again, this is dependent upon you know, what device you have and the manufacturer. But you know, no reason that you can't get it. The other thing is that a lot of times the newer versions that haven't been released on a device yet by that manufacturer can be gotten in a roundabout way, going through you know, what we call rooting the phone or rooting the device. If you're not comfortable doing that, then I would just stick with the 4.0 and you'll be just fine. If you are comfortable doing it, then 4.1 and 4.2 are available out there for almost all the devices.
Sounds good. We are going to take a quick break. We need to thank our sponsors and talk about a few other things. When we come back, we have questions. Daniel from Pierre has an RSS question for us, and we're going to explain exactly what that is when we come back. And welcome back to the March 8th edition of Tech Radio. We are ankle deep into March Madness here, and by our next show on the 22nd, we will be just recovering from a 72 basketball games in 6 days, covered live on SDPB-TV and the internets, and we're glad you're with us. We have a question from Peer. Daniel writes, hey, Tech Radio guys, can you talk a little bit about RSS feeds? What are they, and who might find them useful? I have found these useful in the past, and these are otherwise known as news feeds, I guess, to some people, but there are things such as RSS feeds. And Joel, do you want to sort of give us a little bit of a background on what an RSS feed is and your thoughts on it?
You know, I think I'm actually going to turn this one over to John. I think he's probably got the best view.
Certainly. John T. Meyer from Nine Clouds.
Yeah, I can weigh in. So RSS stands for Rich Site Summary, but often people call it really simple syndication is kind of what what people often describe it as. But it's a way to organize feeds into kind of a nice, clean format that's standardized. So the best way to explain it, I kind of like to think of it as, you know, RSS feed is like the paper boy that comes to your door and throws the paper on your doorstep. You know, there's a lot of websites out there that you like. You might read about the Minnesota Twins. You might read about tech. You might read about, South Dakota politics. And a lot of websites to go visit every day and see, hey, is there a new article? Is there a new post? Whereas RSS will essentially organize that content into a feed, and you can bring it to you. You can bring it to your email. You can bring it to, say, Google Reader, which is a really popular RSS feed. There's even some great apps. I really like one called Pocket on your iPhone, which allows you to throw the links into an app, and then you can use it when you're offline. So if you're on an airplane or if you're in a car ride and don't have internet, you can read the articles. So basically, think of it as RSS brings the content to you. You don't, whenever it's new, and you don't have to go and get it.
Yeah, the only way I can sort of describe this is it's sort of a ninja for really going out there and getting the exact type of news that you want. There's, you know, trying to get news off the internet sometimes is, you know, it's the proverbial drinking from a fire hose. And RSS can really help you target exactly the types of information or news stories or, you know, web updates or whatever it is you're looking for. It can really help you zero in on very, very specific things, from the city you live in to the place you work for to other things, and it presents them in a format that's you can quickly page through. And I was on mine earlier today, and Daniel, if you're a Google or a Gmail user, you have an access right on the tab up there, right to a great news reader. They used to be standalone programs that ran, and you'd buy them, or there were freeware versions of these things. But now Google's sort of taken over the news reading business, like they have a bunch of other things. And it's anywhere on the go, anytime you're logged in, you can hit that news tab, and then just bang, page right through the types of things that you want to do. And it allows you to subscribe to these different blogs and websites as well, and get the headlines from the things that you want to keep track of. Sometimes it's just a little daunting to go out there and watch all the blogs on a particular subject, or whether they're tech blogs or political blogs or horse blogs or whatever they are. Sometimes to go through all those different web pages and go through your bookmarks can be a challenge. But chances are those blogs are using a content management system like WordPress or many others, and those have this technology, John, I'll call it the simple syndication model that you talked about. They have that kind of baked right into the content management system, so it's really easy for these readers to index this news and go out and find it for you and bring it back to you.
I got tons of horse blogs in my RSS feed for sure.
You do. You're an equine type person.
I do know that businesses and like bloggers, really content producers, that's how they manage success. Like we all want comments, so we all want people to respond to our articles, but people don't always comment. Like they measure success by subscribers. So the more subscribers you have, the more powerful your audience is. And so that's what they want. They want RSS subscribers. So I guess to the question, I would say use it, I guess, to was it Daniel's question? What was his name?
Yeah, Daniel from Pier.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, definitely check it out and take advantage. On the mobile, Pocket is my favorite, if you have an iPhone or an iPad. They might be on Android now, too, actually. Pretty cool. They used to be like Instapaper.
Sure.
If
sure.
you use Google Reader like I do, there's actually a Mr. Reader iPad, iPhone app that actually uses Google Reader to bring all that stuff into the iPad, iPhone, and it's actually my favorite app. It does an excellent job of it.
You know, we should talk about favorite apps. I get asked that all the time, and maybe we'll make that a part of the show later. We'll go around the table and talk about whatever the favorite app is and everything. But, Jeff, would you go ahead and post that for us on the Facebook page? Because I'd like to see that.
Yeah, sure. One thing I'll just mention real briefly, the technical side of RSS, just in case that's what he was wondering, is RSS, is this really a way to take that website that you bring up in your homepage and view into kind of a machine-readable format so that different apps and computer programs can manipulate it and present it to you? You could do the same thing if you just go to every web page and look at them manually, but who has time for that? It really does speed up your access to information because it consolidates it, summarizes it, and lets you pick what you want to view from what website when you want to view it.
Yeah, and if you caught what John T. Meyer said earlier about that consistent format, that's what allows it to have. There's a standard, and and we don't have to explain Atom standards or anything else, but just know that data is put in a format that makes it really easy for these automated devices to go out there and find this stuff for you. So that was the key to it all, was automating it. And what helped automate it was you used to have to do it on, the old-fashioned way back in the day, but now there's all these content management systems that newspapers and television stations and bloggers use to put this data in this format that makes it really easy for people to use. That's the bottom line. And like I said, we don't have to talk about all the tech stuff because that's kind of boring. But it is a really great way to because you can't possibly read 1,000 newspapers or websites, but you can easily make your way through a bunch of tabs and topic areas and see headlines from 1,000 different sources and just pick the ones you want to read. That's the neat thing, is to be able to cherry pick that information that you want to do and cull through that and just find, zero in right on what you're trying to find there. So definitely, Daniel, experiment with that, do it, and then let us know how you're doing there with that, and we'll move on with that. Joel, we had another question off of Facebook that I want to get to, and it's about Mountain Lion. Let me find it here, but you know what I'm talking about.
I do indeed. We got a question on Facebook from Sherry. She writes that she finally upgraded to Mountain Lion, and now it's super slow, and she can't do two things at once. And
right.
She's ready to throw it out the window.
Oh, no.
Well, what I'll say is that's not an unusual problem to have, no matter what operating system you're upgrading. I think we've all experienced that one time or another. But there's been some specific problems regarding that with Mountain Lion, which came out quite a while ago. I posted a link to some possible fixes on Facebook. But with the information I have, I'm going to guess, especially if it's a recent upgrade, it might still be indexing the hard drive so it's searchable. And that takes a ton of horsepower right up front. And if it's an older computer, it sometimes can take a couple of days, especially if you don't leave it on while you're not using it. So that could be part of the problem. Another common problem is it actually doesn't have enough hard drive space available. So, check and see if you've got a good, I'd say, 20% of your hard drive empty. And if not, that could be the culprit. But, again, there's at least 12 other possibilities. Go ahead and check that link on Facebook.
Huh. And that, I ran across that on a Windows PC the other day. So this tip, or the last one you just mentioned, can go a long way for helping a lot of different people. If your computer's starting to bog down on you and that hard drive is just grinding away all the time, check and see how much drive space you have left. Possibly you've got too many videos and photos on there or whatever. Dump a few caches and back some stuff up and free up some of that hard drive space, because if you're running on little or nothing, that can be a killer.
Yeah, you know, we should probably maybe talk a little bit why that's an issue.
Yeah, go ahead.
For all computers, if your hard drive isn't about, I think a lot of people say 10%, you know, space left, but I think it's probably more like 20 to 25%, maybe up to 50, depending on what you do with your computer. If it doesn't have that space available, it can't swap that space out for temporary files and to use it for what we call virtual memory for programs such as web browsers or email programs or really heavy-duty programs like photo editing software. If that space isn't there for it to swap out, then it really has to work and just swap out with that very small space that it has. So you might look at your hard drive and say, well, heck, I've still got, you know, 30 gigs left. But if your hard drive is only a 300 gig or a 500 gig, that's nothing, and it really needs that 20%. So that's something a lot of people don't know, but no matter what system you have, that can really be an issue.
Yeah, get your data off that main drive that your operating system is on, don't you think, Joel?
Well, no, I don't think so, particularly with a Mac. I think you should just have a bigger hard drive.
Okay.
Unless you're, you know, maybe a photo editing professional, and then you want kind of have a work drive. But generally, I think it's best to have your data all on your main boot drive for a standard person. That's my opinion.
I wish I was a photo editing professional, but I just hack away at it. But, you know, a good solution would be to keep just throw another hard drive in your computer on the PC side, keep your data over there, and then you don't have to worry about it getting clogged up and slowing down your main operating system, and it's probably easier to back up, too. I don't know. Maybe not, depending on your backup solution. You leaning in to say something there, Joel?
I was just going to agree. Having your information on another hard drive certainly is a good way to back up because you can take it off-site if you want. But it can pose lots of problems if you're not real techy, so I hesitate to recommend that for a lot of people.
While you're on the mic there, we always seem to have iPhone and iPad and mini news and things like that. Is things kind of flying under the radar here, or we got some news I don't know about?
Well, there's no news that isn't really just rumor at this point. You know, I know offline we're talking a bit about Samsung maybe mainstream wireless charging. I think that's a no-brainer. I think all charging will be wireless within 2 or 3 years, and Samsung may be the first to kind of go wide with that. Apple will do it, but I doubt it will be before you know, the first of the year. I think the next big Apple news we're going to see may be a smaller form factor, kind of an iPhone mini, that or possibly this watch device. But we won't see that until we see a full-on saw, you know, probably not for a couple months yet.
You don't think they're going to go? You don't think they're going to go bigger with a phone? You think they're going to go smaller?
Well, I think they really want to capture, you know, some of those markets where a low-cost, smaller phone could really earn them some market share. Markets like India, Africa, China, where the handsets are much cheaper, and to get much cheaper, of course, it's got to be smaller, but. I think that's where Apple really wants to get some.
I'll jump in. Yeah, go ahead, John.
Oh, I was just going to jump in quick. Speaking of like Apple products and just their release cycles, I was in Austin actually 2 weeks ago for this like kind of weekend hackathon event where we were building an iPhone app, and the guy next to me actually was building. And I'll put it up on our Facebook page. But if you go to Arrival, like a plane Arrival .io, He had this idea for a while, and using kind of historical data on Apple products, he actually kind of cross-referenced the data with their current releases and kind of built almost like a queue that'll tell you like how, you know, that feeling when you buy a MacBook and then, you know, 3 weeks later they come out with a new one and you feel like a big dork. Basically, it'll tell you how many estimated days until they think a new iPod or a new iPad or a new computer is coming out. So you can check out that site if you're worried, like, should I buy yet or should I wait?
So that's like so you could like almost automate that when to put my product on Craigslist or something, you know, to get the most value out of the resale or whatever.
Exactly.
Well, you could just listen to Tech Radio because we always predict it right, don't we?
Yeah, I think so. Or we,
that's right.
We try to. We try to.
I'll add in kind of back to Joel's smaller iPhone. The rumors have been, for a while now, and everyone, you know, it's just a rumor that Apple's working on an iWatch, and that would be perfect for that smaller phone segment because you just wear it on your watch, and you know, watch, you're not going to run a browser or anything on it, but you could run a phone fairly easily. So that would be interesting to see if that comes to out that way.
Somebody will figure out how to run a browser on that, or, you know, some high school or college student will figure out how to get exam test questions or something on there, or live feeds of exams or something. They'll figure it out. But all right. I wanted to get back. We just barely touched on this this wireless charging thing. And what you were talking about there, Joel, was where you just set the device on the charging pad and you don't actually have to connect anything up. It just sort of charges the battery through the case. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, through conduction, basically. And you know, this is not a really new technology, to be honest. In fact, there are already ways to charge, you know, virtually any product on the market. Duracell has a product. There are several other things to kind of retrofit your devices. But I think that we'll really see something when manufacturers starting to build it into devices.
Yeah.
And again, you know, it's not really new groundbreaking technology. It's just kind of retrofitting stuff that's been available for a while. So I think we're just going to see it in basically all devices, I would say, in the next, like I said, 2, 3, maybe 4 years. It'll just be the way things work, I think.
Well, this interests me for a couple of different reasons. One is the organizational standpoint. I'm not, you know, finding a plug-in somewhere in my house and have my phone plugged in somewhere different every night. And two, I don't have to plug it in, and that's that can be an area of contention with wearing that socket out or disconnecting, or that, you know, somehow that plug part that goes in the phone goes bad, or just overuse or misuse, or another hole in the phone for water to get in. So I think there's probably some really good reasons to go to this, and by all means, if it's going to make my life easier, bring it on.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think you put your finger on the button there. There's really no good reason a manufacturer wouldn't adopt a wireless charging technology. And it's great for consumers because, as you mentioned, as long as they adhere to kind of open standards, which it would be hard not to, frankly, you'll be able to charge multiple different devices without having to look around for a different cable. Presumably, you'll be able to charge your device anywhere there's a wireless charging port or you know, flat thing, or depending on what they call it. So, yeah, I think it's a great advancement.
Okay.
You know, one of the things though that I tend to do quite frequently is I will have my phone battery so low that I'll plug it into the charger and use it as it's charging. In this case, if it's something that is a mat or something laying on the table, I'm not going to be able to do that because the second I lift it off that mat, it's no longer charging, and I lose, you know, what I was going for there. So. You know, I think at this point it's kind of a gimmick. It's kind of one of those things that's cool and high tech, and maybe we'll get to the point sometime. I think everything begins in its infancy as a gimmick and eventually makes it to prime time and usable. But, you know, the slowness of the charging, the inability to use it while it's being charged, and the fact that you still have to plug that charger into something. You're not gaining an outlet or anything, and you're still putting your phone in a location next to a plug. Is going to keep this from being completely mainstream for probably at least another year or two.
Hmm. Well, anyway, we want to thank Mike and Sioux Falls for bringing that up to us and asking the question, getting that out there today. We appreciate that, Mike. Thank you so much. If you would like to send us an email like Mike did, please do that. We're going into our third half of the show here in just a minute, and our email address is midday@sdpb.org. So if you'd like to interface with us that way, otherwise we're pretty much trolling the Facebook page right now too. So facebook.com/techradio, one word, TECH radio. Go ahead and type that in. You can drop us a note or a picture or anything else you'd like to on that page as well. So feel free to do that, midday@sdpb.org, or just go to the Facebook page and post something there. We will come back and talk about lots more things after this. And welcome back to Tech Radio, Dakota Midday Tech Radio, on member-supported South Dakota Public Broadcasting. We have the guys with us today, John T. Meyer from Nine Clouds. We have Joel Brovelite here on his own behalf. Amos Asop from SDN Communications in Sioux Falls and Jeff Litterick, our guy and peer with the Bureau of Information and Telecommunications. Jeff, you're also not only networking and security and everything kind of a guru, but you're also kind of our resident really hardcore gamer. And we had some gaming news, Amazon.com. We're gonna get back with Jeff here in a minute. I think we just lost him. But anyway, there was some news with Amazon taking an EA, an Electronic Arts game, offline for a bit due to some technical issues. And we were going to talk to Jeff about that. But we'll get back to that maybe a little bit later in the segment if we possibly can. Guys, I'm going to call an executive privilege here, and just I'm going to talk about our live streams one more time while we're in the heart of the show. Sorry to do this all to you, but I wanted to pass along again that we got a lot of stuff going on online, and we have other Facebook pages. We have a sports page for our sports coverage, and we have a Statehouse page for our Statehouse coverage. But we'd like the folks to know that that it's out there right now. We've got the three channels going hard right now with the basketball, and in fact, a few more minutes here for the AA because Rapid City's on a different time zone than we are. But a full slate of basketball throughout the afternoon and evening, and then of course the championship games tomorrow night. In games, semifinal games, and other games tomorrow as well. So just, you know, drop everybody a note and let everybody know that things are really rocking around here, and we want to pass that along besides what's just going on the show right now. So thank you so much for indulging me on that. Amos, did you have a Facebook page you wanted to mention as well?
A Facebook page?
Well, a Facebook comment?
No. Actually, there was someone who had written in and was looking at software-defined networks, but it's way beyond the scope of what we would talk about here.
Oh, all right. Well, anything we can talk about that you'd like to mention from the last couple of weeks? I wasn't with you on the last show. I was away at State Wrestling.
And you missed a heck of a show.
Was it a dandy?
It was. It was, absolutely. You know, some of the things that that I had seen or had talked about for you know, maybe ideas for today. We talked about 3D printers. What was that? 2 weeks ago? Maybe it was 4 weeks ago. I'm not sure which it was, but we did. But that one of the actual real live places that we're seeing that being used is that an individual had 75% of his skull replaced after it was printed off of a 3D printer. And so, you know, you're able to take that information, the geometry of the piece they took out, feed it into this computer, and have it replicate something out in a material that, you know, works for surgical procedures, and a great use for that, for the 3D printers that we've been talking about.
Okay. Yeah, I did note that there was a 3D printer news from last time. What else? Anything else you want to follow up on from the last show?
I was going to jump in with new stuff. That
yeah,
came out
go ahead. Go ahead,
Facebook.
John.
So yesterday, Facebook released, you'll be seeing it coming, a slow rollout, but they announced a redesign of the new Facebook feed as we know it. Kind of funny, Mark Zuckerberg kind of referred it to, you know, your news feed being the most personalized newspaper. It's like your own version of your life in a newspaper form, which is kind of ironic, thinking that Facebook, you know, probably had something to do with slowly killing the newspapers. But so now the big change is visuals. They're realizing that, the average person, they said, spends about 22 minutes a day on Facebook, and 50% of their interactions are with photos and videos. So those are the things that jump out to people on their feed, photos and videos, and not just the text updates. So I think it's really interesting. If you're a business and you have a Facebook page, it really makes you need to really consider how you're using visuals and photos into your marketing and into your status updates. So the big change there, you can sign up. I believe it's facebook.com/newsfeed if you want to get on the kind of the early list. But it's going to change for everyone eventually, but it'll be a slow rollout.
Yeah, one snarky comment I saw yesterday was during the presentation was, "Oh, they're trying to make Facebook like a Flipboard," and which is one of my favorite apps. Speaking of favorite apps, and I know some of the panel doesn't want to go there, but we're gonna go there by the end of the show, I guarantee it. Flipboard being one of the killer apps on my iPad, and I don't know what it is on your guys's, but
Yeah, no, I think it is a reflection of just where the web and where general design is going. Flipboard, Pinterest, you know, all these different apps and websites that are so visual heavy.
Yeah, and if I can give folks just a peek under the hood a little bit, from the media business side of things, from an online like radio station or television station or whatever, one person or a number of people sharing a story that's done, let's just, for all intents and purposes, since we're on South Dakota Public Radio right now, taking a news story that Charles Michael Ray did about the impending doom of forest fires this summer and sending that out socially is a bigger impact as far as people seeing that than me taking that story and putting it on the front page of SDPB.org. It just, when you share it socially, it just, you know, you've heard of viral videos and viral audios and whatever, but it just goes out there and just, it takes on a life of its own far beyond putting it on a static web page and letting it sit there. So that's just something that, you know, that's been out there and getting those things shared and I can see why this is such a big deal. Yeah. All right. Well, so we have a few minutes left in the show. I believe we have Jeff back on. So Jeff, let's talk about SimCity. I started following this in with an Amazon. They took it off the store for a while. Is it back or is it coming back or what happened?
Yes, it is. It's kind of interesting because it has implications, this whole big mess that's occurred well beyond games and stuff.
Well, we should explain SimCity, the mess so everyone knows.
SimCity, if you know, is an old franchise that goes back into, you know, the 90s and maybe even the late 80s, if I remember right. And what it is it's a sandbox game where you build a city. You're the mayor, and you have to make all the decisions, and there's disasters, and you have to tax to get money to build roads and build your dream city. And all these years, it's been a single-player game. And even the new one is still a single-player game mainly, though you can play with others and share resources between cities now. But in a disturbing trend that we saw with Diablo 3 and with SimCity and with cloud computing in general, and this is any app. I mean, this is an app that's, for the most part, a single-player kind of experience, except they require it now to be online. It's out in the cloud. And the only way to run this game is to be able to connect to the cloud. And right now, EA, good luck on connecting to the game that you bought and you're trying to play, because they've had to turn features off within the program speed-wise in order to even keep their server stable enough for people to connect. And many people bought the game, pre-ordered the game, and have yet to really be able to play stably or even get into the first city they created. It's been 3-4 days now. It's kind of a PR mess now, and hopefully EA will fix their stuff. Diablo 3, if you remember, had the same issues rolling out. And you're going to see this in other apps. I mean, Microsoft Office Online has had similar rollout problems. When new versions of stuff come out, and even though you may think of them as local to your PC, a lot of times now you need the cloud. No access to the cloud, or they didn't put enough servers in the cloud, bad things are going to happen. And I think we're going to see more and more of this kind of stuff across the board.
Well, that dovetails right into a question we just got from Peter about the cloud, and unfortunately, it being about 2 minutes left in the show, he's got a lot of great questions here. We're going to have to get to most of these questions on another show, honestly, or back on the Facebook page. But his big question was, how much of the personal data, how much of our personal data right now is being stored on cloud servers? And is this, you know?
Well, I'll throw this out.
Yeah, go ahead.
A man was just arrested for having child pornography because he backed his computer up to a Verizon backup account. Many of the providers and backup providers, unknown to most people, do scan your data for certain things like child pornography. He was arrested and is charged because he's just backed up his computer and made a mistake, and all that illegal stuff went up there and was found and reported to law enforcement. So it can happen.
Okay.
Well, let's do a cloud episode, because I'm going to defend the cloud in the future. Obviously, this guy has his own issues, but I think it's a cloud episode we should do.
Well, he asks a lot of great questions. Now, you know, he may have tipped off his hand on what he's thinking about some of these cloud things. So I'll tell you what, 2 weeks. We'll all meet back here at the same. Well, actually, we'll all meet in Sioux Falls at SDN, and we'll devote at least one of the segments to cloud. How does that sound? Does that make everybody smiling? So I know that makes everybody happy. So we're going to go ahead and do that. Unfortunately, that is all the time we have for today's show. I want to thank our panelists, Joel Brovelite in Sioux Falls, Amos Asop at SDN Communications, Nine Clouds, John T. Meyer, and Jeff Litterick from BIT and Peer. A reminder to listeners, if you joined us late, an MP3 version or a podcast is available on the web, sdpb.org. Click on the listen link. Scroll down. You're going to find us. Stay tuned to South Dakota Public Broadcasting. NPR News is next, followed by Talk of the Nation, Science Friday. Have a great weekend, everybody.